This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, November 27th, 2024, the day before Thanksgiving. And another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And whether you're joining us through one of those terrestrial stations or through the ether of the Civic Media app or by podcast or on our video feed on Facebook or YouTube, we appreciate you starting your day right here. Wherever right here is, any chance it might be an airport or on the road, it's planes, trains, and automobiles everywhere on this busiest travel day in history. That's what everybody feels like when it's their day. They're going to, guess what? They're going to feel like that again on Sunday when they go home. I'm thankful for many things this Thanksgiving. I'm thankful right now that I'm not at an airport at 4 a.m., which sometimes is the case when you've got family scattered all around the country. So we hope that your travel plans or the travel plans of your loved ones go smoothly, go safely, and they're able to enjoy the start of a long and wonderful holiday weekend. Shameless promotion here. If you haven't cast a vote for this here show yet, there is a newspaper in the Chippewa Valley called Volume One. They do their best ofs every year, best of the Chippewa Valley, so many categories, including best radio show. And so if you'd like to, along with stuffing a turkey, if you'd like to help stuff a ballot box, head over to Volume One, spell out one, volumeone.org. And you do have to create an account, but it's like just click and it lets you use your Google or your Facebook. And then you can get on in there and vote for us. We'd kind of like that. Coming up on the program today, in our second hour, we're going to talk about how the next session of the Wisconsin legislature is still weeks away. But Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is already, his nose is growing. He's already spreading misinformation in order to justify not using what is still a $4 billion surplus to fix chronic underfunding of public schools. We will have one of the state's best experts on the topic to tell us about the tricks being played and how to talk to your own legislator about school funding in the next state budget. So that's part of our homeroom segment. Wednesday also brings our climate check segment with Melissa Baldoff. And look, we already know what a second Donald Trump term will be like for efforts to tackle a changing climate. Now we know more about the team he's putting into place to slash federal support for clean energy, remove protections from sensitive lands and water, pump more carbon into the air. But we'll also find out that, you know, there are the efforts to fight a changing climate, they don't stop the moment Donald Trump takes office. The work just transfers elsewhere. And Melissa and I will talk a little bit more about that. So let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, Melissa Kay, of course, because it's also Wednesday. Todd Alba, because it's Wednesday, of course. And let's see, Brittany Merlot, as she is every day with a forecast that starts with us telling you about bus stop temperatures at 6 a.m. here. It is 19 in Chippewa Falls, 19 in Hayward. Yes, Hayward is back. Their thermometer appeared to have been broken for a few days here, but welcome back, Hayward. You're at 19. Wausau's at 19. La Crosse, 23. Amory, 21. Wisconsin Rapids, 20. Green Bay's at 23 right now. Madison, 26. Waukesha, 25. And it is 30 at Radio Park in Racine, where we find one Greg Bach, who I can't see the suitcase behind him, but he is just itching. The moment the work is done, he is so out of here by plane, train, automobile, pizza delivery van, whatever. Ooh, it takes.
We had pizza in the office today. Yesterday was great.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, shout out to Wells Brothers, one of the best pizza places in, I think, in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they like a Racine only establishment?
Yes, Racine only, okay. Racine institution, and was named one of the top 10 pizza places in the country years ago.
Oh, very nice.
They specialize in thin crust. Oh, delicious. And then like, tiny little pieces, so you're like, oh, how did I eat half a pizza?
Right? Yes. I love thin, greasy places like that where it's like, wait a minute, I just had a couple of little squares, right? And I don't know how many little squares fit in a circle. I didn't do well in geometry. So I have a ready-made excuse.
I don't know how many pieces fit in my belly.
Right? Let's see. Alicia notes on YouTube, my son came home from college last night, so now both my kids are home. So she is very happy about that.
But Alicia, I thought you were like 21 years old. You look so young in your picture. So.
Oh, that's sitting very there. Nice.
Come
on. See, I think we just got another vote in the Volume 1 poll. So yay for us. Yesterday I had my annual eye exam, which is in no way depressing, as once again, you learn the ways that as each year ticks by, you go, remember when I used to see all five letters in that bottom line? And now it's like, okay, that's a... And I did say to the eye doctor, I'm like, okay, CFT4.
Is there a niner
in there?
You calling from a walkie-talkie?
Just blurry blobs at this point, but you know. And then they do the where they dilate your pupils.
Yeah.
And that's always an experience, you know. I mean, you wear the sunglasses, and at some point you take them off, and you know how we talk about, you know, typing in all capital letters is like having your pupils dilated and you remove the sunglasses. That's like the all caps version of eyesight. It's like, you're going to see everything really bright right now. Please put the sunglasses back on. But, you know, you go through, this is the end. We do our stuff at the end of the year. You might have a flexible spending account or whatever, mm-hmm. and you got to use it all up. Yeah. So there's dental and doctor and what right now is what the open enrollment period for things like the Affordable Care Act or for Medicare plans, things like that. So all these decisions that you have to be made while you're also doing, you know, your plans for Christmas and Thanksgiving and all of that. So
yeah,
it comes with the territory.
We took a look. So my wife has an HSA, which I don't really like because I feel like whatever healthcare
health savings account. Yep,
but we look at her account. We're like, oh, we can like get some fancy exams too. Cause we just, you know, it just accrues over time. And mm-hmm. we're like, oh, I can get two eye exams. All right.
We can look at both eyes. Yeah. That'll be great this year. So, and Alicia puts a note. Oh, Greg, appreciate your comments before. So thank you. Yeah, we know. Let's see if you want to reach the show at all. Let's see. We got an email address, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a phone number. 855-75-CIVIC. You can call us. You can text us at that number. You can use the Civic Media app as well. Melancholy happy trails, the saying goes, to Jim Abrams, who gave us Airplane along with, what was it, the Zucker brothers?
Did he die?
He did, yes. The graduate of Shorewood High School, Jim Abrams, co-creator of Airplane and all of the Naked Gun movies, passed away at the age of 80.
Kentucky Fried Theater and movie.
Kentucky Fried Theater, which he did for 5 years in L.A. before working with John Landis, the director,
who
turned their projects into a movie. And Airplane came out in 1980, and the rest is history. To which this is the way that we would appropriately offer up a toast to Mr. Abrams, as we would say of his career. Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley. So,
I picked a hell of a week to die.
Quit sniffing glue. Yeah.
Well, and also another little fun factoid about Abrams and the Zuckers and Kentucky Fried Theater, which was a sketch comedy group back in the 70s. Yeah. They gave us Dick Chudnow, who created Comedy Sports, which is a worldwide phenomenon with... and it's based in Milwaukee, home in Milwaukee. And Dick came out of Kentucky Fried Theater, came home to Wisconsin, and he created this this art form. And so there's that connection of them to us as well. I mean, of course, because Wisconsin too. But
right
for me personally, like Dick Chudnow is a pretty big deal in my life. So I thank for what they created. I'm thankful for what they created.
Yes. And in terms of things that they did differently, of course, just new levels of silliness. But
yeah.
It's one thing to be silly. It's another thing to have the genius to, in these silly movies, your casting includes Leslie Nielsen, Lloyd Bridges, mm-hmm. Robert Stack, who, again, younger folks won't appreciate this, but these were deadly serious actors.
Yes.
And you're seeing them in this comedy, and not just like this slapstick screwball comedy. And just what made it so much funnier is that that was the last thing you expected from Leslie Nielsen, who played like tough guys, cowboys, mm-hmm. all of that. Now we know Leslie Nielsen from, you know, Naked Gun and everything else. Lloyd Bridges the same way, Robert Stack. But the first time that you can actually poke fun at yourself like that,
yeah.
that was the real secret sauce in those movies.
The genius of any great spoof film, and there aren't many great spoof films. There are a lot of spoof mm-hmm. films, but they're not great. And the one thing that makes it different and better than all that Airplane has it and The Naked Gun, I would say, especially the first one, Files from Police Squad, the TV show it was based on, and then a yes. movie called Black Dynamite, is that at no point do they ever look to the camera and wink and say, we're all in on the joke. It is
no, yeah.
the most serious acting, saying yes. some of the most ridiculous things ever, and it makes it even funnier. I mean, Airplane is still funny to this day.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you said Police Squad, I started laughing because at the end of every episode,
they
would do a freeze frame, but they didn't actually freeze the frame. They would just freeze in place.
Yeah.
The closing credits would roll over them and you'd see them like kind of looking to the side without yep. moving a muscle.
Their hands, you know, shaking as they're up like holding a gun or something. Yeah. I mean, the joke that I always remember from the TV show was, so Nordberg, who was played by O.J. Simpson in the movies, was yes. played by a really tall gentleman. You never saw his face. And the mm-hmm. joke was, Nordberg, you got some food on your face. And he scratches, he goes, no, other side. He scratches again, and a half a banana falls down. And just those really dumb things, but they always worked.
They did. Or they'd have some criminal, and they'd do the freeze frame,
yeah.
and they'd all freeze, except for the criminal. Who's yeah. like wondering why are they all stopping? And so he lets loose the handcuffs and sneaks out of the room.
I'm about to rewatch that show now.
Oh, I know.
Lovely.
It was great. All right. When we come back, we will turn our attention to some of the news of the day, and it's serious, but in some ways not serious. There's a dating site that is tracking breakups based on the election. And boy, Wisconsin got a lot of attention as a swing state. Well, we're getting attention for the impact of the election as well, so we'll have that story. And more about the Trump transition ahead of our Climate Check report, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning when you're here. You're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
About Eddie Rabbit in today's history lesson coming up in a half hour from now. I had to grab that one of all the songs Eddie Rabbit did. I had to grab the schmaltziest one because for our wedding we created a wedding video, which was still some of the latest greatest technology back in 1986. And so we get this VHS tape back and it's got this lovely little, you know, montage of people coming into or out of the church. And this song in the background, which is perfectly fine, but we didn't pick it. You know, the guy didn't ask, like, do you have some favorite, you know, we would have given a couple of different love songs and things like, and instead it's like, did you ask for this song? Like, no. Did you ask for this song? No. So there it is. And now I just picture all my, you know, relatives filing into church, you know, as a result. But we'll tell you why Eddie Rabbit is part of today's history lesson coming up in a few minutes here. First, a little sports at 6:22. Damian Lillard scored 37 points And the Bucks went on to beat the Miami Heat 106-103 in an NBA Cup game last night. The Bucks are now 3-0 in Cup play. I believe there's five games that they play there to see who makes it to the knockout round. And so if they win next week, they will automatically advance. Giannis was kept out of the game, some kind of a swelling issue with his left knee. But here's the real deal here. The Bucks, by winning, they've now won five in a row, and they are at 9-9. After starting out the season 2-8, they have clawed their way back to 500. So all that initial panicking, we got to trade Giannis, we got to fire the coach, everything else that maybe I was helping to instigate, forget it. It's all good. We're back to 9-9. A lot of sports coming up across Civic Media stations over the coming holiday weekend, not the least of which the Green Bay Packers playing on Thanksgiving night. They are hosting the Miami Dolphins, and the pregame on Thanksgiving will start at 5 p.m. on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. Packer games are not available on the Civic Media app, so tune into one of those fine stations. The Wisconsin Badgers will host the Minnesota Gophers in a Friday morning game, and the Badgers need this win if they want to go to a bowl game. They need this win if they don't want to have a losing season for the first time in more than 20 years. Pre-game starts at 9 on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, but also on the Civic Media app. The Badger men's hockey team hosts Alaska Anchorage. You can hear Friday's game starting at 6:30 on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. The Badger men's basketball team plays Saturday morning. 11 a.m. is the broadcast start on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. The Badger men's hockey team against Alaska Anchorage again on Saturday at 7:30. The Badger men's basketball team plays Michigan next week, Tuesday at 7 p.m. So all kinds of Badgers and Packers sports that you can catch all across the Civic Media radio network. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. All right, there are a lot of what you would call, Greg, mixed marriages out there. And it could be anything from, you know, one is Catholic, one is Jewish, to, you know, white and black, to geography. Maybe one's a smoker, one's a non-smoker. There are so many ways that what I refer to as a mixed marriage or a mixed relationship can work. You can overcome those hurdles. You can overcome things that maybe turned you off about that person in any other instance, but you really love this person and you want to make it work. So you overcome, you know, maybe something that is not that something you grew up with, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the case.
I mean, I grew up, my mom liberal, dad Republican, so.
Well, that leads us to the topic of the mixed marriage or the mixed relationship based on politics.
Yeah.
And some couples do it. I've watched couples do it. They make jokes about canceling out each other's votes. This year hasn't worked out so well for some couples. Mm-hmm. A new study by the dating site WeGoDating.com reveals the states most likely to break up over Trump's victory, with Wisconsin right near the top of the list. It's based on how political tensions during the election drove a surge in Google search terms like how to break up.
Oh, my God.
And divorce lawyer. And so the findings revealed how deeply political divides are affecting personal lives. Wisconsin ranked second in the nation, driven by a tight political split and rising tensions in relationships. Other top states for battleground breakups include Georgia and Michigan. Meanwhile, the least affected states, Wyoming, Vermont, and North Dakota, report very minimal breakup intent based on Google searches. Well, first off, these are deeply red states. These are also very isolated states. You lose somebody in Wyoming or North Dakota, it's going to be a long wait for the next person to potentially come around. But it is definitely having an impact on folks this year. like it or not.
I feel like they were, I mean, like I said, my parents were opposite political parties, and I think back in the day of, we don't talk about politics, we don't talk about sex and religion. That's how you can make it work. You just never talked about it. But now you do, and you should. You always should have, and people aren't going to keep themselves silent. And we talked about this a lot before the election of women who were voting their own conscience and voting for what they wanted versus what their husbands expected them. And if fights ensued afterwards, you know, it's like, I can't be with someone like this. So, you know, I mean, if you're happy, be happy. That's what I say.
Yeah. I mean, you try to overcome a lot of things, but some things this year just couldn't get over the hump. One update on the Trump transition. The Trump team has refused to go through the normal channels for signing documents that deal with transparency and ethics when it comes to transitions. The Biden administration has reluctantly gone along with a new draft of a memo of understanding that says that, according to the Trump team, it will allow them to enter the next phase of beginning to have the, quote, deployment of landing teams in every department and agency. The transition says it will not utilize any taxpayer funding. It will not use government buildings provided by the General Services Administration. It will operate as a self-sufficient organization. Don't congratulate that. That's not a good thing. That means they're not being transparent in who is donating / buying their way into office and are not going to tell taxpayers and voters who essentially is funding and getting favors as a result of the Trump transition. We'll talk about the Trump transition to a new climate.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's electric. All right, we're back and getting back into the swing of things. Well, temporarily, you know, we had the election, then you had that post-election thing. People were taking vacations. Well, now it's Thanksgiving. So we get Melissa Baldoff today. We don't get Joe Zepecki tomorrow because it's a holiday, so we'll eventually catch up with Joe. But Melissa can fill us in on a lovely post-election vacation before we talk about climate matters. Melissa Baldoff, hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. Wonderful, in fact. Coming back from a vacation to Aruba, it was very difficult to summon up the will to return.
Oh no, I missed my plane. Oh, I have to stay here. Yes. Something like that. Yeah.
We did threaten the children that we might not return. We left a lot of food in the fridge and the freezer and the pantry. They were very well stocked. Everyone was great.
The dog's happy you're back. I mean, the whole family is. Yeah. Here you are, and frankly, you know, ready for what's next, which is not necessarily what a lot of us might have wanted to be next, but these are the cards we're dealt. And so we're gonna look at some of the cards today from a climate perspective. And the cards that we've been dealt, think of them as trading cards. And there's guys on there like Doug Burgum, the former North Dakota governor, and Lee Zeldin, who's going to head up the EPA, and just other lobbyists. And the thing that they all seem to have in common for helping out President-elect Trump is some kind of a connection to, I know this is going to shock y'all, fossil fuels. They're pretty big on that.
Yeah, they are. And for someone who doesn't always deliver, I guess this is one thing we can count on Donald Trump to deliver on. When he promises his wealthy friends something, he's going to deliver on it. When he tells them, you know, elect me and I'm going to make things really good for you, fossil fuel industry. It seems like that is one promise he can keep. You know, maybe he can't keep his promises to working class people and people who need some help on their healthcare, or people who are worried about, you know, I think the cost of eggs was a big concern, and I don't know that anyone's going to be.
There's no eggs are. No.
Anytime soon. Yeah, this seems like a promise he's able to keep, that he is going to really do everything he can to make our energy policy as friendly as possible to fossil fuel interests.
Sometimes I wonder, is Trump against all these things just because Biden was for them? Or is it just rooted in the ideology of somebody who is in the hip pocket of billionaires and oil executives? I suppose the motivation doesn't matter either way, but we just know what direction he wants to go in.
Right. And I think it's it can be a little bit of two things can be true. I think that he definitely wanted to be against whatever Biden was for. And I think we know that nothing is more important to Donald Trump than how he can enrich himself personally. And I think that in this second term in office, I think we will unfortunately see just an unprecedented and just something no one ever could have imagined way that he will attempt to profit off of the presidency and the office of the president. Really, it's all about how can he personally profit and how can he gain more power.
And you do that by, again, palling around with other really rich people who made their money, in this case, off of fossil fuels. The EPA will be run by former New York Congressman Lee Zeldin. And in announcing the appointment and in accepting it, Zeldin said, "We will restore U.S. energy dominance and revitalize the auto industry to bring back American jobs." Well, Melissa, the auto industry has already been doing quite well and has been happy with the pivot to EVs and hybrids and things like that. I mean, what Trump and Zeldin are proposing is an answer in search of a problem. The answer has always been drill, baby, drill, but it's solving a problem that no longer exists. We're making this pivot, and we are already dominant in these areas.
Exactly. And, you know, I did think it was interesting, too, in the, you know, statement citing from Zeldin, the last thing he mentioned was protecting clean air and water. That was the very last thing, which
sure.
When you're talking about the person who is running the EPA, that should, you know, kind of be something that they're leading with and something of, you know, kind of one of their top concerns is how are we going to protect clean air and water? And that's really a kind of very minor consideration for him. Of course, we want to, be thinking about having, a strong energy, clean energy policy. Well, I don't know that they care about it being clean, but we want to have a strong energy policy. And of course, we want to revitalize our auto industry, which Joe Biden did. And have these great American jobs, which Joe Biden did. Like you said, it really does look like a, solution in search of a problem while creating a problem that, would be rolling back protections for our environment. We're not going to make any, not only will we not make any progress on clean air and water, we're going to lose the progress that we have made we've started to set some new standards over the past 4 years. We're going to, if they roll those standards back, that is going to really chip away at the progress that we have made.
Yeah, well, and again, it's one thing for Zeldin to say we're going to protect access to clean air and water. I think access is the key word there, because that takes us over to the Department of the Interior, where North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum would be in charge as Interior Secretary. And, you know, as has been noted by folks who would like to see a clean environment, Trump's Project 2025 is all about opening more public lands and coastal waters to oil and gas drilling. And you should not be looking at Doug Burgum as somebody, as Interior Secretary, who is going to be protecting our public lands from exploitative industries.
Exactly. You know, these are folks that are really, you know, not concerned with protecting our natural spaces, with protecting our public lands. This is all about how can they monetize those spaces, and how can they promote policies that are going to enrich large corporations and the fossil fuel industry. This is not about our environment. This is not about protecting our public spaces. This is not about the health of our communities, of our environment. This is about the bottom line, which for them is profit for the very wealthy and for billionaire corporations.
And again, when I talk about the spite end of this, it's worth noting that one person, you know, close to the Trump campaign put it this way. They have the model of what Biden did during the first day, the first week, and the first month. And they're going to look at what Biden did and put a knot in front of it. And that's it. It's just out of spite. And the only when they're going to be pushed on, well, is this going to create jobs? And they're going to say yes. And people are going to say, prove it. And they're going to say, well, you just watch, you know, and we are going to watch. And this is not going to be, it's not going to be a fun time to watch what's happening to the environment from here. I don't doubt, Melissa, that there are still people that are going to be extremely active on pushing back. At the state and the local levels. This week, we saw California Governor Gavin Newsom talking about making up EV tax credits at the state level if Trump at the federal level, you know, kills them. And I think here from Wisconsin and beyond, I think you now turn to state and local leaders to say, here's what we're going to do because we are still committed to, you know, taking care of the matters that come with a changing climate.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important to know that there are going to be folks who are committed and who are doing the work and who are going to be competent and capable and steady, because that's one thing that I don't think we touched on just yet, really, here. And I think we'll have unfortunately, so many opportunities to talk about that in the, you know, months, weeks, years to come. Is that, you know, not only are these, you know, the folks that Donald Trump has chosen and the policies that they are pursuing, not only are these dangerous, but he has really, you know, tapped people who are really unqualified and don't really have experience in these types of roles that he's put them in. He is more interested in putting loyalists in charge than picking people who are qualified. And I think we're seeing that, you know, kind of throughout his, you know, the cabinet he is assembling, or as a friend of mine from high school, I saw on Facebook, described it as a junk drawer instead of a cabinet. And I thought that was a very apt description. So, you know, I think that the contrast will become very, very clear as well, too, when folks are going to really be looking for that leadership, and they're going to be looking for who is able to get things done and who is able to help us and who is able to make a difference. And they're going to look to their local government. They're going to look to their city, their town, their county. They're going to look to their state. They're going to look to their, you know, their governor. They're going to look to their legislature. And they're going to say, hey, who's able to get things done? Who's able to make a difference? And, you know, unfortunately, it's not going to be the federal government right now. And so they are going to be looking to see who's able to get things done. And I think it is going to be those state and local governments who are able to really still make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, and we've been here before. We've been through the first Trump term. And the mayor of Cleveland, Justin Bibb, is the chair of a group called Climate Mayors. And he says mayors are going to double down on our commitment, passion, and vigor to continue to address these issues, especially at the local level. We've been here before when Trump was first elected and pulled out of the Paris Accords. And so what happens is these local governments, their climate projects, they won't have the federal government as a partner, but there will be, you know, universities and there will be industry. And I don't think there will be a shortage of other opportunities to partner up. The financing won't be the same. We're still going to do some backtracking, but let's not end this on a doom and gloom note, Melissa. The work's going to go on. It's just that it won't be the kind of partnership that you had under the Biden-Harris administration.
That's right. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but that doesn't mean that great work can't get done. That's something that, you know, when this is something that I know when Mandela Barnes was on previously, he talked about with you, when he was lieutenant governor and he and the governor first started talking about the climate change task force and putting that group together. And as it began to do the work of making recommendations, that task force assumed no help from the federal government. And it was, of course, a wonderful and pleasant change of circumstance that there was help from the federal government and we got the Inflation Reduction Act and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. But a lot of great work happened even before those things became so transformative.
And remember, the Inflation Reduction Act, it was created by Congress, and it would probably take Congress. There will be battles there as well. And so, again, we know what Trump can do. We know what he wants to do. But there will be a whole lot of details between now and then that I'm sure we're going to continue to talk about in these weekly climate features. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much for filling in the blanks. Welcome back. And we'll just continue to follow as we head into Trump part deux, for lack of a better term, I guess.
Part
two. Part two. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh my gosh, we are just rocking out for Up North News Radio here. This is very unlike us. This could only mean one thing. We're in the history lesson. No other place where Jimi Hendrix is normally getting played here, but the early guitar rock legend was born in Seattle on this day 82 years ago. Try to imagine Jimi Hendrix as an 82-year-old. Although I got to say, Melissa Kay's with us as well, that if that were the case, he would be the one 82-year-old man who could play guitar with his tongue or, you know, all the other tricks that he used to do. Jimmy could have done it if he were still with us. No doubt at all. Again, born this day in 1942. Melissa Kay, how are you?
Good morning. I'm awake.
Well, there we go. We got
nothing
we got the
gets
little
past
favors.
You. All right.
Nope, not a bit. What you up to in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids
we
land?
We are prepping for our Rekindle the Spirit Parade tonight.
Rekindle the Spirit Parade.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's a.
Did somebody de-kindle it, or how does that work?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how it got its name, but we're going to march in it. So,
all right,
nice.
Hand out stuff.
March and hand out stuff.
Yeah, Agatha's going to be there, so you know it's a big deal.
Agatha will be there.
Agatha as in Harkness.
Agatha is in our mascot for 105.5, our chicken.
The chicken, Agatha.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I just got done watching that show, so I was in there. I was in that mode.
Okay, gotcha. Let's see. Let's go to more birthdays here. Bill Nye the Science Guy is 69 today.
Oh, nice. Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill Nye the Science Guy.
We have immediately transported so many people back to their younger years. Loving this guy.
Science rules.
Yeah. Were you either of you viewers of Mr. Nye's program?
It was a little too.
I never got to see the original program.
And okay. I was a little too old for it at that point. Like it was like 90s, and I was like I was in high school at that point. So I'm like, nah. What's this dumb show for kids?
Eddie Rabbit was born this day in born this day in 1941. So that would 83 years ago. He passed away in 1998. Well, I love a rainy night. Now, before he recorded songs on his own, he was a songwriter. And Melissa, do you know what his big hit was that he wrote for Elvis?
No, I don't.
Kentucky Rain.
Oh.
That was an Eddie Rabbit tune. Yeah. The first ever Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was held in New York City this day in 1924, 100 years ago. The song Never My Love by The Association was certified gold on this day in 1967.
I don't know what it is about these.
No.
These late 60s songs are just like, they're just singing through Honey, bopping their head back and forth.
I know. Isn't it lovely? And yet at the same time, so easy to mock.
Yeah. Yep.
I like it. Let's see. You've heard of care packages.
Yes.
But how many folks actually remember what CARE stood for originally, the acronym? It was a post-war relief program called the Cooperative for American Remittances to Europe. That was back when we let bureaucrats name everything and we didn't do any marketing whatsoever. But the care packages were sent for food relief in Europe after World War II, when America was pretty much the only place that was still had operating farms and things like that. So quite literally.
Can we implement that in reverse once the tariffs are put in place?
It's going to be something like that. Yes.
They're called don't care packages.
Yeah, don't care packages. Right. Yep. Let's see. It seems like every day has a little Beatles touch to it somewhere. On this day in 1967, the Beatles released the soundtrack to their upcoming film, Magical Mystery Tour.
I love this intro.
Oh, yeah. So we will play another song or two off the Magical Mystery Tour album yet this hour.
Just to see Greg dance.
I know. On this day in 1982, Lionel Richie, who had already had a Hot 100 with the group The Commodores, he'd had number one hits with Three Times a Lady and Still. He had a number one hit with Diana Ross, Endless Love. He finally reached the number one spot on his own as a solo artist with this single. Who can hit this note? Not me. Although if you want something fun, try it in your car.
Now this song could be like, do you like fizzy alcohol drinks? Truly.
Yeah, why aren't we hearing this? He should be making money off that beverage.
Because he doesn't have to. He's making money off everything else. He's like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I suppose. It's a very lovely song, but again, my condolences to anybody who's ever like on a whim tried it on karaoke, and maybe you can do almost all of it till you get to that one.
I know the chorus really well.
Yeah,
and then
you just bail out.
That's when you point the mic to the audience and go, "You guys,
yes, I like that. You guys got this." On the National Day calendar, it's a weird little assortment. Today is National Jukebox Day.
Okay.
Today is National Bavarian Cream Pie Day.
Here for it.
Okay. And National Craft Jerky Day. So making your own jerky out of, I don't know, all kinds of weird
ways
stuff.
To make your house smell.
I made jerky out of my sweater. You want some?
maybe not that crafty. It's National Tree Week. It's National Deal Week. Hello, Black Friday. And it's National Farm City Week.
Nice.
And you can hear all about farms and cities from everything Melissa does at WIRI and WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yeah, take care. We'll talk more about your community conversations coming up next time around when we get to visit.
Community stories.
Right. Community stories when we come back next week. We'll fix it in post-production.
Oh, totally. I'm on that.
We're live. I forgot about that. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about school funding.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.